This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, August 25th. I'm Patricia Naft. A head-on collision occurred at 9 p.m. Saturday night on Highway 133, one half mile south of Avalanche Ranch, and has left one person dead and closing the highway for 2 hours for investigation. A 21-year-old woman from Illinois was killed after another driver apparently crossed lanes into oncoming traffic. Aspen Public Radio reports that two other people are in Valley View Hospital with serious injuries. The crash happened just hours after another head-on collision killed a motorcyclist near the town of Emma on Highway 82. Almost 50 years ago today, on August 26, 1964, the Fab Four played Red Rocks in Colorado. It was the height of Beatlemania in the U.S., and for 17-year-old Chet Carmen, it was the start of a great adventure. As a John Lennon look-alike, Chet was mobbed by teenage girls wherever he went, but a chance encounter with a record store manager in Colorado Springs led him to meet John Lennon in person. He shares his story with Rocky Mountain Community Radio, Maeve Conran.
One, two, three, five!
I was living with my grandmother in late 63 when JFK was killed. We lived in Oklahoma, and I heard them on the radio on KOMA and had to stop the car. I was just shocked at the sound. So I started growing my Beatle haircut. I had a little head start and had kind of longish hair. That was late December. By the time they were on Ed Sullivan in February of 64, by then, I could see a resemblance, and kids were starting to notice that I looked like John on their first album, their first couple of singles, with the little round neck suits, the gray suits with the round collars. By the time they played Red Rocks, by then, at Red Rocks that afternoon, while we waited on the road up to the parking lot before they opened the parking lot, I spent that afternoon signing autographs and posing for pictures and fending off girls. I had a couple of friends with me that were sort of protecting me because girls are coming up and trying to grab my coat. I got the pocket ripped off my jacket. They're pulling my hair. That went on all afternoon for hours and hours.
What was that like for you as a 17-year-old?
Initially, it was wonderful, but it was just strange. It was like your first airplane ride. It was sort of giddy feeling. And it got kind of disturbing after a while because you just, whatever direction I looked from our seats, in row 13, while the sun was up that whole afternoon, you know, if I looked at the crowd, there would be a sudden frenzy of girls jumping up and waving, trying to get my attention. And you sort of felt like you're in a bubble.
What was the sound like?
I have told people, I've heard other people say it, like an airplane, like being at an airport or being close to an airliner, like a 747 or a 707 back then. Like a jet engine roar. Years later, I found out, we all found out, that George Martin, Brian Epstein, and I think Derek Taylor, they had climbed up on top of the rocks because someone had phoned in a bomb threat. While they were up there on the rocks, I was still getting mobbed, and there was, wherever I was in the audience, going over to the concession stand or whatever, there would be a cluster of girls following me around or crowding around to get me to pose for pictures or whatever. Would have been noticeable from then. After the concert, maybe 3 weeks later, something like that, in Colorado Springs, where I had moved again, back with my parents. And, in Colorado Springs, I walked into an appliance store that has a record department near the front. And a bunch of girls that had been following me down the street came in with me, giggling and talking and wanting to slipping me their phone numbers and just wanting to talk, wanting to hang out with me. And the store manager, as had happened before in record stores and other places, the manager would say, if you're not going to buy anything, you got to get out, you know, and shoo them away. I just went in to look at records, and she said, you know, you really look like John Lennon. And she said, well, I just met him at Red Rocks.
That record store manager was Pat Massaro. She also did some concert promotion work, which was how she was backstage with the Beatles at Red Rocks. She took Chet's phone number. And some days later, Carmen says he got a phone call. And Pat Massaro asked him if he wanted to fly to Dallas to see the Beatles. They arrived at the Cabana Hotel in Dallas, where the Beatles were staying.
we came in with two or three policemen inside, and suddenly everybody turned around, the talk all stopped. The lights came on, the cameras all came up on the shoulders, the big old TV, the old video cameras and film cameras, flash bulbs going on, and microphones being shoved at me, and just people shouting at like a press conference out of control, and they couldn't hear us saying, we're not anybody, I'm not anybody. It just didn't matter. They're just still asking questions. What's your favorite color? How long are you going to be in the States? Who writes all your songs? That kind of stuff.
They escaped the scene in the lobby and went up to the floor where the Beatles were.
John came out with sunglasses and a black cowboy hat that the Chamber of Commerce had given him, a black Stetson. He came out and got a drink and didn't say anything, just sort of looked and looked me up and down. And John, the second time he came out, did say, this is might have been the high point for me. When he finally did come over himself, he walked over to me, and I thought there was a chance he might be going to throw me out. He came over to me and stuck out his hand to shake hands and said, hi, I'm John Lennon. And I started giggling at the time, because I thought he told me his last name. Like, I might not know who I'm dressed like and who I look like and who we're here to meet. I thought also how unpretentious, how down to earth and polite, and I was impressed with the gentleness of it and the lack of sense of ego, self-importance.
Chet Carman says Pat Massaro, the record store manager from Oklahoma, became a Christian missionary. Chet dropped out of high school to become a musician.
I started playing music just 2 or 3 months after I met him. I got the drums, and my band ended up opening for the Doors in Colorado Springs in 66 or 67. It's a memory now. I'm glad I did it, but sometimes I almost wish I hadn't, because it's kind of like getting to go to the moon once overnight. You're there, next day you're back, and you didn't even get to bring any moon rocks back. You have nothing tangible to show for it, and you want to go back or stay there or whatever. It was a really special thing. But it's a pain, it's a bittersweet memory. Sometimes it's very sad.
The governor's oil and gas task force, charged with coming up with new recommendations for the energy industry, is getting off to a slower than anticipated start. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Governor John Hickenlooper created the 18-member task force as part of a compromise to avoid a nasty fight at the ballot box. Second District Congressman and Democrat Jared Polis withdrew two anti-fracking ballot initiatives he was backing on the day the signatures were due. One of the conditions for pulling the measures was the creation of a diverse task force that would recommend a legislative solution to lawmakers. But there's been so much interest in serving and hundreds of emails and calls that the appointments will still take a few more weeks. The commission will include members from local government, oil and gas, agriculture, home builders, environmentalists, and the public. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.